Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible of prophecy, the Bible of salvation. It's all about salvation. God's word to you is all about getting you into his presence in heaven forever. Say amen to that. God wants you in heaven with him forever. That's the Bible.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that forgiveness is a gift from God? When you order our current featured resource called The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley, you'll discover how forgiving someone sets you free from the bondage that keeps you from living up to your fullest potential as a Christ follower. The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Get your copy of The Gift of Forgiveness today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever. The Apostle Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus who later became the leader of the early church. His story is ancient, but just like today, we are still in need of a Savior, and we still need Peter's heartfelt words of compassion and encouragement. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the Bible told us of the coming of Jesus Christ in advance and that our salvation would cost Jesus his life. His brutal death on the cross gave us the gift of eternal life, a gift we could never earn or deserve. Now with his message called The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're looking today at verses 10, 11, and 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1. But boy, pay attention as you read this. You say, Jack, three verses? We're not even going to get done with these verses, I'm pretty confident. This is deep, awesome theology. This is good for our soul. We need this. This is deep stuff. Father, we ask you to instruct us from your word. This is awesome because, God, we've gathered together as your people for 2,000 years. Followers of Jesus have been doing exactly what we're doing on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday morning, to look to your word, to read your word, to study your word, for the word to be taught. And then for the people to preach in the communities and the villages and in the cities in which they live. So, Father, this morning more than ever, may we take these short three verses, and God, may they embolden us to be Christians that make a difference until we see the face of Jesus, which we hope, Lord, will be soon, very soon, we pray. It's in his name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today we're looking at a message entitled, and I mean it, listen carefully, The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever. You might say, oh good pastor, are you going to talk to us about the 10 toes and the 10 fingers of Daniel's image? Nope. Or are we going to go to the book of Revelation? Nope. How about some of the Old Testament prophets on the chapters and verses regarding the end of the world and the dawning of the millennial age of Christ? And nope. Believe it or not, church, and you might want to write this down, the greatest prophetic teaching of the Bible is that of salvation. When we talk about prophecy, we are talking about the eschatology of the Bible. That is the doctrines of future things. And let's be honest, the Bible's very clear. And church, you know this more than most, that anywhere from 27 to 33% of the Bible is dedicated to the prophetic teaching of future events. But in light of what Peter is teaching us today, it is actually accurate to say, and by the way, I've never heard this before, I've never read it before, but in light of the doctrine of salvation, it's true to say that from Genesis to Revelation, the greatest prophetic doctrine of the Bible is salvation, which makes the doctrine of salvation the number one prophetic issue of the Bible, which in my opinion makes the entire Bible the Bible of prophecy, the Bible of salvation. It's all about salvation. God's word to you is all about getting you into his presence in heaven forever. Say amen to that. God wants you in heaven with him forever. That's the Bible. And would you forgive me in advance that there's going to be numerous times today that I might say things that might cause some who belong to a cult, for example, to feel a little uncomfortable. Maybe today you hold a different religious view and you're following some religious founder. This message may offend you, but offenses are not always wrong. They can be very healthy. Look, your doctor offends you when he tells you you're sick and you need antibiotic and you need to get help. That might offend your feelings, but your doctor, thank God, doesn't care about your feelings. He cares about your health. And God cares about your spiritual health. And God wants to make sure that you're healthy. So the greatest teaching on the Bible, in the Bible, I believe is the prophetic or salvation message of the scriptures. By the way, with your Bible open there in chapter 1, will you look to see regarding this word salvation? Look back at verse 5. 1 Peter 1:5, it says, regarding us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto what? Salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. That's an interesting statement. We studied it at length, remembering that it means that you are not only saved now if you've put your faith in Christ. That means if you died now, you'd go to heaven. But the fact of the matter is that every day that you and I get up, every day you and I live, every day that you and I lay down, and by God's grace, we are kept through the night, and the next day comes, we are one step closer to the totality and the fullness of the revelation of your salvation. You say, Jack, am I saved or am I not saved? What are you saying? Yes, you're saved, but the totality of your salvation will come with the resurrection or translation of your physical body, either at death in resurrection or the rapture of the church. That's why those events must take place, church. You must be either resurrected from the dead for the total salvation redemption effort to be completed, or the rapture takes place where the Bible says in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, you'll be transformed. So the moment you accept Christ, if you died one moment after that, you'd go straight to heaven. Your body, we would bury you at Forest Lawn. But when the rapture happens, your body would come out of the ground, and that your resurrected body would meet your redeemed soul that Christ would bring in 1 Thessalonians 4. You can read that later. And you would be experiencing the totality of your salvation or redemption, body, soul, and spirit. You can see why now salvation deals with all of the prophetic aspects of the Bible. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It's verse 5 and verse 9. Verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Very comforting truth. By the way, one notable theologian said regarding verse 9, he says that it should be rendered this way, according to the original Greek language. For you are receiving the consummation of your faith, that is, the final act of your salvation, which will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ, and I would add, for you. Paramount to this verse stating that things that have been declared to us, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, I, that is the Lord speaking, have put enmity, the word is hostility, speaking, by the way, watch this. In Genesis 3, God is speaking to Adam, to Eve, and Satan is personified in the body of this snake thing. We don't know much about the snake, except that it stood upright. Isn't that freaky weird? The snake in the garden stood upright. It had legs. I don't like that. I don't like snakes, period. I don't care if they have legs or not. I don't like them. It's never done man any good to even be near a snake. And look what happened the last time we talked to a snake. It ruined everything. Yep. Some of you are snake fans. Keep it to yourself. I'm not interested. Stay away from snakes. But God is speaking in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity, hostility, open warfare between you, he points to Satan, and the woman, he points to Eve, and between your offspring, he points to Satan, and her seed. He didn't say offspring. God said seed, and that is a messianic salvation redemption statement, that salvation would come through the woman, and that there would be, from the moment of the Garden of Eden and its fall, there would always be a war between Satan's host and the children of men, that Satan's desires to destroy you, crush you, kill you, banish you to hell. Listen, Satan wants you in hell. Satan hates God and he hates you. He hates you because you've been created in the image of God. He'll lie to you. He'll deceive you. That's why you and I are constantly tempted. Did you know that you're tempted at all times? All the time. You might have already had a temptation sitting here in church. You say, isn't church safe? Isn't this like a no tempting zone? Isn't this our safe place? Answer, nope. Haven't you had weird, perverse thoughts sitting in church? No, you haven't. I know you have. I had somebody say to me recently, Pastor, I was just having a great time in service and I was listening to you and all this stuff. And then the thought came into my mind, what would happen if somebody shot him right in front of everybody? And I go, well, thank you for telling me that. That's fantastic. You don't have a gun on you, do you, by any chance? But that's a perverse thought. At least I think it's perverse. But people have thoughts. How does that happen? That's coming from the enemy. He hates you. And Jesus, the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, God says that there's open warfare between God's children and Satan's children. Did you know that? Satan has children that serve him in this world. All of this regarding the souls of men. Satan wants your soul. And in some way, I don't get it, but in some way, in some reason unknown to us, there's a great battle taking place regarding the redemption of mankind and the salvation of you as an individual. Satan wants you dead. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. The God of the Bible does not operate, by the way, in the realm of risk. You might think, well, boy, after the garden, well, you know, why did God even allow that snake or that or the devil into the garden and all that kind of stuff? Those answers we will know someday in eternity. But just know this, God takes no risk, don't worry. He didn't like gamble with humanity on this one. He knew exactly what he was doing. The Bible tells us in another place in the book of Ephesians that the very act of redemption through salvation is God's display throughout all eternity of his great grace and the love with which he loves you. Isn't that awesome? You are loved today by the one who matters the most, by God himself. By way of introduction to this study, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, grace to you and peace be multiplied. And salvation is the part of God's grace. And it's a wonderful truth.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And one more verse before we dive into this. When we talk about grace and salvation that's mutually connected, you can't separate them. You got to have God's grace working in your life to even bring about salvation in your life. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. It's the gift of God. And if you've forgotten grace, you might want to write this down. There's a sweet definition using the word grace as an acronym. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that a great word? That salvation is by God's grace. God's riches. God wants you saved at Christ's expense. Jesus died on the cross that you might go to heaven. The preaching of the cross, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Not one of God's children, listen, in this church, listen everybody, not one of us who are truly God's kids, and I have to say this, I had to wiggle this in because it's happening much in the community of God's people. Not one of God's children who've experienced salvation, the salvation work of God in their life, goes about using sins and excusing those sins and writing those sins off as some form of liberty. There's a lot going on today in churchianity regarding this thing of liberty. Peter's gonna talk to us soon about this great power of God to save us. I wanna ask you, save us from what? The Bible tells us that God saves us from the wrath of God. Did you know that? You ever think about that? You say, well, I thought I was saved from hell. You are saved from hell, but how did that happen? You're saved from hell because Christ took the penalty of my sin on himself at the cross. Listen, the wrath of Almighty God in his righteousness was poured out upon Jesus at the cross. Jesus saved me from the wrath of God. God's not angry, he's holy. and sin must be punished. And Jesus went to the cross and he died in my place and in your place. And Jesus took upon him the wrath of his holy Father in my place. And in doing that, he set us free from the power of sin. All of us are tempted, but the Bible teaches us that you and I choose to yield to sin. We sin because we love it. We sin because we want to. We sin because we act in disobedience to God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And today we have people saying, I can drink, I can be drunk, I can follow Jesus. I have the liberty. I can be involved in porn. I can smoke pot and be a Christian. I can live like this. I have the liberty. Listen, I don't know what you think about that, but the Bible's very clear about that. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? What did Paul just say a moment ago? Certainly, what did he say? Certainly what? Salvation sets us free from those things of bondage. If today you claim to be a Christian, but you're stuck in these sins and you know they're sins, no matter what book you read, no matter what liberal pastor or book you might be exposed to, you know down inside it's sin. To be a Christian and live with your girlfriend or boyfriend in sex. Look, if you're Christians and you're passionate with one another, then listen, get married. The Bible says get married. Well, I had somebody tell me, look, I wrote it down. I can get high because it makes me feel better. And sometimes I think I understand the Bible better. How do you know? Because I'm really in tune with the things of the Spirit when I'm high. How do you know? You're high. How do you know? Do you understand the justification of this? Just tear Romans right out of your Bible because Paul was clearly wrong. Listen, salvation sets us free from the bondage and the power and the control of sin. We're all tempted and we all give in to sin from time to time. The Christian doesn't want to. The Christian fights it. The Christian trips and falls. But the Bible says the Christian gets up and walks again with Christ. That's what we do. The Holy Spirit does that with us. But to live in sin is to not know anything about the saving power of God, which brings us to this. The greatest teaching on Bible prophecy ever is found in verse 10, and it's this, is what God has said about salvation. Write that down if you would. The greatest teaching on Bible prophecy is the fact of what God says about salvation. First of all, we see that his salvation is a forethought. It's preceding. When I say that, look at verse 10. It says, of this salvation, referring back to verse 9, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired. Now, he's speaking about the Old Testament prophets. You can write that in your margins of your Bible. It will help you in future study. The salvation doctrine of the Bible was exposed to the prophets first. And the Bible tells us that they have inquired. This is amazing. Watch this, people. The Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit came upon the Old Testament prophets, and they spoke under the power and the possession of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us, we'll study it more later, that even as they spoke the word of God, which you have in your lap, by the way, it's called the Old Testament. They spoke that by the power of God, and it's written down and preserved by God throughout all the ages. And the Bible tells us they spoke these things under the influence or power of the Holy Spirit, and they often did that not knowing what it was that they were speaking. They didn't understand it. Listen, I don't know how to stress this enough. If I could stand on my head to get the point across, I would. There is no more lofty calling in the Bible, in humanity, than to be a prophet of God. They spoke under the possession of the Holy Spirit. They spoke out into the future. And listen, they were often marginalized, ridiculed, mocked, some of them killed. Jeremiah, among others, were imprisoned because what they had to say was hard to receive, and many rejected it. But the Bible says the prophets spoke on salvation and they inquired of it. They searched for it. It's a remarkable thing. In your highlighter of your Bible or your pen, you want to circle three very important words. Of this salvation. This is what's known as an exclusionary statement, meaning that all other ideas, all other doctrines, all other beliefs regarding any other salvation offered are inadequate, incapable, insufficient, and in a word, unable. You say, what? Those three words that we see in the English come from a Greek declaration, and it's rooted in a Hebrew word of this salvation. Notice it's not a salvation. This exclusive, one of a kind, unable to be reproduced. Anything offered other than it is wholly inadequate, incapable, unable to save you. The salvation revealed in the Bible absolutely saves. Saves by the power of God at the expense of Christ. Saves you fully. Amen. Oh, Pastor, can I lose my salvation? Not if you have it. Just make sure you have it. But once you have it, my dear friend, I like to look at Christians, saved people, like they're galvanized. And I don't like to limit it. Galvanized in titanium, plutonium, gold, platinum, silver. I don't care what it is. You're wrapped in the power of God's salvation, and nothing or no one or no demon of hell, no angel of heaven can snatch that salvation away from you. Just make sure you're saved. Just make sure you're trusting in Jesus and not yourself. Of this salvation, of this great salvation, it excludes all the cults. In one incredible stroke, the cults are found to be inadequate. Judaism, work your way to heaven, impress God, do your good works. Wrong, says the Bible. Islam, do your good works, pray five times a day, fast, do all these things, and then maybe Allah of the Quran will accept you. Wrong. The God of Mormonism, sweet people, messed up doctrine. Meet all the standards, get the boxes checked, do all these things, get all of your happy faces and all of the achievements, and then wrong, Jehovah Witnesses, wrong. You say, what gives you the right to say that? I don't personally have any right to say that. I'm just regurgitating the Bible. Jesus Christ is your salvation, and to add anything to him is to insult him. He alone is able and worthy to save. He's fully adequate, and the gospel is all sufficient. It is Christ in him alone. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for some of our sins. Say it again. All. That he might deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father. Oh my goodness, the will of God wants you to be in heaven. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. Verse 6, listen to what Paul says to the church in Galatia. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel or another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, I like how Paul includes himself. Paul is basically saying, if I go dumb, if I get stupid, if I depart from the truth, or if I get a brain tumor, or if I mess up, include me in this list of bad guys, or an angel from heaven, I don't care if it's Gabriel or Moroni, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, let him be damned. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be condemned or damned. Bible. Here's the amazing thing about that. Galatians chapter 1, that was in print and in circulation at the birth of the cults. It was already there. In the deserts of Arabia, Muhammad had access to Galatians 1. Did you know that? Rejected it. Again, Judaism says that you can get to heaven by good works. Rejected the truth of God's word right here. All of the cults.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.